I understand that we have with us one of, well, the world's most famous chefs. She is indeed the co-founder of Ballymaloe Cookery School, celebrity chef, 18 books. They're Doreena Allen, and you're very welcome.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful evocative music that was.
Oh,
lovely.
Yes.
There.
The James Galway. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you're here as you are for countless years for the St. Patrick's season. You're here, though, with a couple of famous chefs. And here from, say, indeed part of the great promotion of Tourism Ireland, Noel McNeil, who is the executive chef of Lough Erne Resort in Fermanagh, and of course, Clodagh McKenna, chef, television, food personality, author, and indeed author of Clodagh's Suppers. But you hold the gold medal as master chef from Ballymaloe Cookery School. But can you bring us back to the earliest days when the notion of developing a cookery school in Ireland, for many of it saying, not really. Ireland does not have a reputation for a variety of food. But bring us to that.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking it must be 25 years ago when you and I first met and when you asked me to come on Irish radio here in New York, and we had this kind of conversation, why on earth would anybody want to go to a cooking school in Ireland? I mean, you and I knew there were plenty of very good reasons, and that it wasn't all about corned beef and cabbage, but it was hard to spread the word at that time. But anyway, in 1983, we started the Ballymaloe Cooking School on our farm. It's Ballymaloe, as you may know, of course, is east of Cork City, down close to the sea near Ballycotton, and we are in the middle of a 100-acre organic farm, and this seems like a very good place to start a cooking school. At a time, a residential cooking school it was, actually, because at a time when there was no residential cooking school in Ireland, and a certain number of people going to the Cordon Bleu in London or the Cordon Bleu in Paris, and suddenly I thought, well, look, the produce... we knew that the produce we had in Ireland at that time, the artisan producers were just beginning to emerge. The farmhouse cheesemakers, people like Veronica Steele making that lovely Malines cheese, and we were just realizing in a way what my mother-in-law, Myrtle Allen, who started Ballymaloe House as a restaurant in 1964, had always said, that we don't realize what wonderful produce we have in Ireland. And at that time, many people didn't. But we started the cooking school anyway in some converted farm buildings on our little farm. And we had extensive and still have extensive gardens and greenhouse. We have an acre of greenhouses and a micro dairy. So we have our own Jersey cows to make butter and cheese and yogurt and, you know. So anyway, we started the little cooking school there originally with just 9 or 11 students, and within a couple of years, students were literally coming from all over the world, including America. And now at the moment there, we have 11 nationalities, which is not at all unusual,
well,
and we do,
yeah,
as you probably know, long 3-month courses for people who want to earn their living from their cooking, and all sorts of short ones, so that even if you're in the area, you can come in for a cooking class on any afternoon, so and get a taste of what we're doing. And the farm and the gardens are open to the public too.
Yeah. Doreena Allen, my guest, I want to ask you about, we know a lot of people who said, oh my God, I have every book written by Doreena Allen, I have all 10 of them, and actually 18 is the correct number, but what is it about, is there a change in your discoveries of Irish food? What is it that would bring and have a market, you know, for 18 different cookbooks?
I know. And actually, they're all different. The content in all of them is different. But, I mean, obviously there are lots of lovely Irish dishes in it, and but also I travel all around the world. We have students to the cooking school, Balmy Cooking School, who come from all over the world. So there's, you know, flavors of India, Mexico, Morocco, Thailand, China, etc., etc. And there's so much food. It's such obviously a universal language. There's so many delicious things, and then we have all this delicious produce. So I mean, I remember somebody saying to me once, you're all about local and whatever, and what's lemongrass doing in your recipe there, or what's epizootie doing? And I said, well, look on the windowsill, you know, we can grow lemongrass, we can grow epizootie, etc., because we have you know, we have a greenhouse and windowsills as well. So we're very lucky in Ireland, as you well know. We have a lot of we're an island nation with a lot of fertile soil, long coastline and cold seas, so we've got very good fish and shellfish. And then we can grow grass, that lovely green grass, like almost nowhere else in the world. And we have our dairy products, and our beef and lamb are fantastically good quality, and vegetables. So, you know, that's all you need to make gorgeous food is, you know, really good produce. And then some of my books are, there's one written, I did one on traditional Irish food, of course, many years ago, which has been, is still in print. I think that's 25 or 26 years in print. But also there's Forgotten Skills of Cooking. There's Go Cook Nourish. That was my second last book, where I was encouraging people to, for goodness sake, take back control, you know, over our food again. Because, you know, what are we like in a way that we've almost given over complete control of our food choices to our supermarkets and multinational food companies in the last couple of decades? And, you know, they can't really be expected to have our best interests at heart. Their responsibility is to their shareholders. So basically, you know, in a way, the most important thing for our family, for our own health and our families, is the food that we eat. And I'm saying to people, look, I don't care if you live in Manhattan or where you live, you know, try to grow something on your windowsill or on your balcony or whatever. At least you know what's not in it, and it'll be, and there's magic in sowing a seed and it's growing into something delicious that, you know, is nourishing and wholesome and gorgeous. So that was Grow, Cook, Nourish was probably the most important book I'll ever write. But this one is actually called 100 Classic Recipes, and this is from the Simply Delicious series, which were out of print for now, what I suppose 15 years or something. But in almost a week didn't pass that somebody ringing me up and saying, look, where can I get a copy of Simply Delicious Food for Family and Friends, or Simply Delicious Fish, or whatever, because I lent it to my friend and she never gave it back to me, or whatever, and I want to give a present of it to somebody now. So my publishing company, Kyle Books and Octopus, said before Christmas, can you let's do a little hardback, pick out 100 classic recipes from that series, which there was, I think there was a series of 9 books and 9 television series to go with them. So that was a tough one, to pick out 100 recipes. But anyway, it has a huge nostalgic thing. I mean, so many people love those Simply Delicious books and the little dog-eared copies in almost every house. And that's not a boast. It's just a fact, really. And so anyway, people ran into the, well, not quite ran, but it went back into the bookshops again to get a copy before Christmas when it came back out again. So that was really nice. So many people, you know, that have, you know, many memories around food and the little Simply Delicious series. So that was really touching.
Yeah. I want to, for the benefit of those who may associate today in the today in New York City's the St. Patrick's Day parade with what is still advertised right across America, almost as much as the Shamrock and everything, you will find that there are restaurants and pubs and everything saying Happy St. Paddy's Day, which irritates me anyway. It's St. Patrick, actually. But it's a Happy St. Paddy's Day. Come in for corned beef and cabbage, the real Irish dish. Aggravating. Tell us about...
I mean, if people don't really, if they don't know, then they really need to know what's going on in Ireland and on the Irish food scene. My goodness, what an extraordinary... Well, a renaissance is not quite the word, but I mean, you can, you know, and I know that you can get such fantastic food in Ireland. Now we have so many Michelin starred restaurants. If that's the kind of food you want, in Cork County alone, we got 3 new Michelin starred restaurants in the in the last awards. And actually, Ballymaloe recently, there's a new, really big glitzy award called the inaugural World Restaurant Awards that were held in Paris a couple of weekends ago. And this is the alternative awards. It's like the Oscars, the food awards alternatives. The 50 top restaurants, which are all the 3-star Michelin ones. But this is actually awarding other aspects of the restaurant experience. And Ballymaloe House, I know you know Ballymaloe, they won the Sweet Trolley of the Year, the Trolley of the Year Award for the Sweet Trolley that my mother-in-law, Myrtle Allen, actually started when they opened Ballymaloe as a restaurant in their farmhouse, old farmhouse in right in the country in 1964, which, as you know, was the first in the British Isles, as what you would call an inn over here, Ballymaloe House, and then the restaurant there. And so she started the Sweet Trolley then, and it won the Trolley of the Year Award in Paris at these huge awards the other day. So that was really, really nice. But so there's so much going on in Ireland. From, you know, if you're going around the country, you know, you can eat in Michelin starred restaurants, you can eat in lovely neighborhood places, in pubs, lots of farmers markets, tons of artisan producers, cheese makers, and then there are lots of food tours now as well. The whole food tourism thing, Tourism Ireland and Fortune are doing a lot of work on connecting up people to the people who produce the really good food. And so anybody who thinks it's all about corned beef and cabbage, and it can be delicious corned beef and cabbage, I can tell you they can. It's no longer coming just for the wonderful landscape and the friendly people. It's coming for a truly gastronomic experience.
Listen, it dawned on me actually when we linked up. Though I've tried to forget and definitely not bring it up with you, but there was a time when I was years ago and I was leading a tour to Ireland. There were two coaches of about 40 of each because of the New York State Lottery had through Irish Radio Network. We were promoting Ireland and CIE tours to Ireland with losing tickets. So a lot of people wanted just took advantage of seeing Ireland, and there were so many others who couldn't care less, but they got this, they happened to win a trip there. And I distinctly remember we had done quite a bit of the tour, and I think we were actually down supposedly so all of these newcomers to Ireland could kiss the Blarney Stone.
Well, yes.
Only thing we could kiss was the greatest downpour of rain. And I said, oh, my God,
oh, no.
What are we going to do? And it dawned on me, let me call my friend, Doreen Allen. You know, and said, so, by the way, I have 80 people there, and I have to do something
with him for the afternoon. Well, we were delighted to see you, and come again soon.
Yeah, but I remember that it was great, and the hospitality there, because you do have a lovely welcome, a restaurant, a hotel, and you know, and obviously the school itself.
Yeah.
But it was.
And actually, as I said, there people, if they're in the area, can literally come into a cooking class for an afternoon. A lot of people don't realize that. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No. And I'm glad that you mentioned that again. And it's great. It's great to have you each year. Your own website for Ballymaloe, for. Which
there's a Ballymaloe House website for the inn, and there's also cookingisfun.ie is the cooking school. But you're probably aware that my mother-in-law, Myrtle Allen, who started Ballymaloe originally with my father-in-law, Ivan, opened their house in 1964, a little restaurant. She passed away last year there at the age of 96 and left an incredible legacy. And was such an inspiration to so many people both in Ireland and all over, really, wasn't she?
And absolutely. And a legacy is only, it's of the legacies, I think, the uniqueness of cooking, Ireland cookery, which was kind of the butt of too many jokes, you know, about, you know, cooking in Ireland is, you know, the
yeah, I know. It was like an people consider it to be almost an oxymoron. And I often used to give the students who came, particularly from America, to the cooking school, I'd give them an extra special welcome for having endured so many jibes about how many ways to cook the
dish
and so on. But when they went back, I can tell you, they spread the word, which was a really good thing to do.
I remember one, indeed, you know, going back to my, which is almost 60 years arrival in America, I remember one of the most offensive things that said that, you know, and again told by a fellow Irishman, you know, how do you define, you know, an Irish meal, you know, a six pack and a boiled potato. I was ripping.
Well, so would I be. Well, I can tell you now, if you want one of the best restaurants here in New York called King on King Street, if you want really delicious food, they do a lot of Italian food, but they're two past their alumni at the Ballymaloe Cookery School, and they do. We had a lovely lunch there the other day where they cooked food out of this 100 Classic Simply Dishes book, but they did, oh, a rhubarb tart that you would die for, Adrian.
Oh, my God.
Just with lots of saffron sugar and cream and dingle pie and old-fashioned salad with that. Do you remember the dressing people used to make before there was mayonnaise?
Oh, yes.
Salad cream and,
yes.
Oh, there you are now. That was at King of King Street.
And where is that? Where is it in New York?
It's called King, and it's at the corner of King Street. And you know, I don't know the cross streets. I'm hopeless about them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm like so proud of them. The food is really. The New York Times wrote them up recently and said it was some of the very best food in New York. So
wow.
How about that now? That's an Irish connection there, really well worth putting on your New York list, your bucket list. Yeah.
Thank you. Recommended by Doreen Allen. Again, thank you very much. For joining us today, and good luck. Okay.
Well, Adrian, it's always a pleasure, and all the best to Anya as well.
Thank you very much.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all.
And to you.